described. Okay, so as Chuck mentioned, right, this is the next word in our series. And as I just to kind of set the stage for you again, right, this is the first time God has described his character, his attributes. And if you remember, this occurs when the Israelites are at Mount Sinai. Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from the Lord, right? And during that time, as the Israelites have agreed to the covenant, they said, yes, we're all in, let's go for it. Moses goes up to get the tablets, to get the tabernacle plans, and the Israelites are downstairs having a calf party, right? Eating some calf fries. I like calf fries. For those of you that have never had calf fries, they're actually pretty good. So, just for the record, just so you know. So, during that time, right, this is when Moses hides his face, the Lord comes by, and as he's coming by showing him his glory, he's repeating these, right? And it's Exodus 34, 6, and 7. Yahweh, Yahweh, a God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. He maintains loyal love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he won't declare innocent the guilty. He will bring the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and grandchildren to the third and the fourth. So, as I mentioned before, getting all of this from the Bible Project, Dave sends out the link, so if you want to go back and you can actually drill into the studies and everything else, these guys have an amazing amount of resources out there. It's quite impressive. So, let's go ahead and kick off the video, and then we'll have some conversation about it.
If you tried to describe what God is like, it could be difficult or daunting. But when the people who wrote the Bible pondered the mystery of God...
You know, you thought last week I had to
solve
it. I just saw that. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate that. All right, let's do it this way. Let's just do it this way. Let go. I know, I had technical difficulties last week, but my machine came through okay. I know some of you were concerned about that. Oh. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Grace. Okay.
If you tried to describe what God is like, it could be difficult or daunting. But when the people who wrote the Bible pondered the mystery of God, they consistently described God's character in this way: compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. We're going to look at the second key word in the statement, gracious. The Hebrew word is chanun, which is related to the Hebrew noun chen. This word, chen, is often translated as grace or favor. And if you study how this word is used throughout the Bible, you'll find it fascinating. One meaning of chen is delightful or favorable. In the Psalms, a skilled poet is said to have lips of chen, that is, he can craft beautiful words that bring delight. Or a dazzling piece of jewelry is an ornament of chen. It attracts attention and favor. This is why chen is often the word used to describe a gift given with delight or favor. In these cases, chen could be translated as grace. Like in the story of Esther, who approaches the king of Persia to ask that she and her people be spared from death. She calls this a request for chen. And because the king delights in Esther, he favors her and grants her wish. So, giving a gift of favor is chen because it's motivated by delight. And the most extreme kind of chen is showing favor to someone who should get what they deserve, not a generous gift. Like Jacob, who cheated his brother Esau, ran away, and then after 20 years wants to come back and make things right. So he comes to Esau asking, "May I find chen in your eyes?" Jacob isn't asking for what is fair, but for favor. And surprisingly, that's what Esau gives him. He chooses to delight in his brother Jacob and show him grace that he doesn't deserve. Now, chen requires a generous spirit, which people sometimes have. But in the Bible, the one who shows more chen than anyone else is God. Like when God rescued the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and they quickly betray him by giving their allegiance to a golden idol as their god. But then, Moses steps in and asks God to consider giving a gift that they don't deserve. And God says, yes, by showing the ultimate act of chen, forgiveness and a promise to be with his people. This character trait of God is so reliable that over 40 times in the book of Psalms, people cry out for God's chen when they're sick or in danger or when the Israelites are in exile. And the biblical prophets, like Isaiah, looked back to God's chen in the past and boldly declared that God will one day show chen to his people by delivering them and all creation from death and ruin. Now, when we turn to the authors of the New Testament, they describe God's chen with the Greek word charis, which means gracious gift. Like when we're introduced to Jesus in the Gospel of John, we're told that Jesus is God's glorious charis become human, sent into a world of people trapped in darkness and death. Because according to the Apostle Paul, we're like the living dead. God has handed humanity over to the destructive consequences of our selfish decisions. But, Paul says, God is rich in mercy, and by his charis, he's rescued us. He's talking about how Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are offered to us as a generous gift of life that is more powerful than death. And as with any gift, all one has to do is receive it. So, now you can see why the biblical authors talk so much about this description of God's character throughout the Bible. When people are willing to own their failures and ask God for chen, he has a consistent and generous response. God gives the gift of himself, his life, and his love. And this is what it means that God is gracious.
Right. So, back to where I was here.
So, as we mentioned, right, the attributes of God that he describes are compassion, gracious, slow to anger, loyal, love, and faithful. Today we're going to look at the word gracious. Did you like that animation? That was good, wasn't it? Ooh, exciting.
Well, when they said he ran and he was kind of plodding along, I took a little bit, you know. Yeah. But everything else was good.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate that. So initially, right, the word gracious comes from this, the Hebrew word chanun. Is that how you pronounce it there, Chuck? Guttural? Chanun. But what I found interesting, right, and this is kind of that literary geekness, if you will, of Tim Mackey. It, as a verb, it means to be gracious or show favor. And that's used 77 times in the Old Testament. As an adjective, technically, it means gracious, and it's used 13 times. And then as a noun, which is where he really focuses in on, which is chen. Chen, once again, that's that guttural, right? Grace or favor, it's used 70 times. And so when you think about it, one of the things that I found very interesting was this first description of being elegant or delightful. So he talks about a poet having lips of hen, having lips of delight, so much so that it would actually invoke favor. You think of an ornament of hen, right? A beautiful necklace. That's another area that it's used in Proverbs. So at the end, really, chen is often the word used to describe a gift given with delight and favor. And for me, I think of grace, and I think we all are very familiar with the word grace. Obviously, we go to a church named Grace, right? But I don't think of delight necessarily in that same area. And that was kind of eye-opening to me. But you think about it, God is delighting, right, to give us these gifts. God is delighting in his forgiveness. It's another way also of showing favor and generosity for those that don't necessarily deserve it. So we think of Esther, and let's remember, right, he talked a little bit about Esther, but remember, Esther was a peasant girl that had basically gone through a beauty contest. So it wasn't like she was the queen. I mean, she was, but she wasn't. right? She didn't have the authority to even go in and ask for a favor. So if he, you know, if the king of Persia at the time would have rejected her or not accepted her entrance, right, that could be the end of her. So you got to remember that she's going in asking for this favor completely in a subordinate position. Completely, right? So once again, kind of looking back on what Chen is, right? She's this lower social status, and thus the decision to make the favor is coming from someone on high, right? Someone in a much more powerful position. Because let's face it, this king is not obligated to grant this request at all, or even grant her presence in to his area. What do you call that? Throne room or... What's that? Yeah, throne room. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that. So, at the end of the day, right? The king, court. Thank you. The king shows favor. Another idea around Chen, or how it's used, is to find favor in your eyes. Right? So you look in Genesis 39:4. This is where Joseph is now in Potiphar's house. So he's been bought by Potiphar, right? And he found favor in the eyes of Potiphar and became his personal attendant. And he was appointed over the entire house and everything belonging to Potiphar. In Exodus 12:36, this is at the time when the Israelites are getting ready to leave, right? They're packing up, they're going. God actually has, the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So if you remember, right, they basically plundered the Egyptians as they're going out of town. Great move, by the way. I like that one, right? So that they let them have their request. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. And last but not least, for those of you that were here last summer or last fall, Michael went through Ruth with us. Another great example where Ruth, she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, which is Boaz, right, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? So once again, it's this area of kin, right, to find favor in your eyes. Now, we've been looking at a lot of different people in the Bible showing kin to others, but even as the video says, really, at the end of the day, right, God shows favor probably two-thirds of the time that this word is actually used. Now, my question, and we have a new trivia question today, just make sure it didn't pop up. The majority of the biblical descriptions of grace or favor are referring to God's generous acts of favor. Who was the first person, remember you got to raise your hand, who was the first person in the Bible whom God showed kin to?
Adam.
No.
He did.
Not according to
Adam was told he would die if he ate the fruit of the tree, but God.
Okay, good question.
Showed favor good. And did not. And I got that from the Bible Project.
Interesting. Really? Wow. All right. Interesting. Okay, well, I'll have to go. I owe her a Starbucks card, but somebody give me the next one. Anne, you were, raise your hand.
Noah,
that's right. At least according to this part. That's interesting. So
the first one after that.
Apparently, right. Wow.
And then that's
it. No. Yeah, you guys can cut the card in half. That's funny. Okay, I'm gonna look at that. For the firstborn that just came out? Yeah, right? Was he using the term kin? That maybe that was it. It was generosity. Okay. Well, see, Cindy, see. No. Yeah, now truth comes out, Cindy. Yeah, right. Anyway. So, and obviously, right, and they kind of land the plane here. God's hen is very much embodied in the person of Christ, right? In John, he talks about John 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace. He uses the Greek term charis, right? And truth. For all of his fullness, we have all received grace, charis, upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And so if you think about it from a summary perspective, right, the story of Jesus is God's gracious favor has become the person of Christ. It's really the ultimate from that perspective, right? Generous love given without regard to status or worth, and even more, it's given to those who are unworthy of a gift and instead of deserving justice. So, as I kind of come to the end, I look at those, hopefully you can read those. To me, I picked out these words, and I just started kind of meditating on these words. What do these really mean? So first off, we talked a little bit about delight, right? That there is a graciousness and delight. There is an elegance and a beauty of this, of being gracious. There's a favor. I think we tend to think of the definition of grace as being an unmerited favor, right? Or an undeserved gift. So I think favor is very much in line with the way we use that today. Generous, right? There we go. See, she just generosity, right? But it's generous. Yeah. She's bitter. That's okay. But it's generous of spirit, right? We think of generous as money, I think, in most cases. But this is a generosity of spirit, right? It's this element of love and acceptance and recognizing others for who they are, that they are a child of God, just like we are children of God. And being generous in spirit is that acceptance and that love and the recognition that even though that person drives you a little bonkers, right, they are a child of God. And that's the way the Lord sees them. Forgiveness, obviously, we know that, right? Christ came, atoned for our sins. That's the ultimate act of forgiveness. It's a gift, we know that, and last but not least, it's mercy. There's mercy because God recognized and showed his mercy by giving up that last, himself, really. So, at the end of the day, it's God's gift of himself, or his life and his love. Alright? Yes? I don't know. I don't know if Kairos is used there or not. Chuck, you going to look that up? You'll look it up.
I just thought you knew it off the top of your head.
Good
thing the teacher didn't take up everyone's phone.
That's right. We should have, though, right? You got it?
Yeah, Cardi T looks like it's a format.
Good, Amy.
Well done, Amy. Okay, I like that. It's always on the frontal brain. Okay, so here are our questions for today. We'll break into our groups. First question is, why is it so hard for people to accept God's graciousness?
Good question.
Thank you. I came up with that one all by myself. Why? Right? Why is it so hard for people to accept God's graciousness? And then number two, are there areas in your life that you continue to want to work for or control rather than give it to the grace of God? Yeah, I got a little person over there, little nooks and little creams. Right?
Just answer the first question for a second.
A little bit, James, but you're not supposed to point that out. Right. But the idea being, right? There are parts of our lives, you know, that maybe we are giving over to the Lord and experiencing His grace, but there are other parts that maybe we're not. But let's talk through those. So, let's break up into our groups. We'll spend 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll exit.